Matthew 5. Verse 29. Read 29 through 29 and 30, Sherry.
Let me count the ways. And if the right eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. If thy right hand offend thee, cut it off and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell.
You know, when you hear people talking about Christ, you know, especially those that are like in the Unity churches or the Muslims or others, they talk about that Christ was such this great teacher that brought this great teaching to the world. My response to those people that say that is they've never read what he said. He said, if thy right hand offend thee, cut it off. If thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out. He said, unless you hate your mother, your father, your sister, your brother, your wife, your children, yea, in your own life also, you cannot be his disciple. He made the claim that all truth in the universe was centered in him. He said that he was the only one in the history of the universe that had ever proceeded from the Father. He said that unless you believed on him, you would die and go forever into some place. I mean, this isn't the teachings of a sane man.
Well, just me as long as eating his flesh and
drink
his blood.
Unless you eat his flesh and drink his blood, you cannot be part of the kingdom of God. This was this great teacher. If someone came to you and said the things that he said without, you know, having it once removed, you know, I can sit here and say Christ said this all night, and you think it's fine. It doesn't. But if I said to you that the things that Christ said, he thought he was perfect. He thought the fullness of the Godhead dwelt bodily in him. I mean, he's a madman. I mean, what would you do if somebody came to you and stood in front of you and said those words?
Try to get him committed.
Huh? You try to get him committed. Nothing that Christ said was good for society. Nothing. Christ was speaking to a different race of people than the human beings. Let's just take, if your right hand offends you. Spiritually, the word for right-handed I assume he spoke Hebrew, was zeruah, which means your generation, the thing that's most important to you. If it offends you, cut it off. The word offend is the word where we get scandal. It's scandalizo in the Greek. And it means something incredibly interesting. Spiritually and scripturally, a scandal is when you do something to benefit yourself. That's scandalous to the teachings of Christ. If you benefit you or yours, or you do something to protect you or yours, it's a scandal in the kingdom of God. And yet the psalmist said, they will speak well of you when you do well unto yourself. Most of you have been confronted with this by associates or parents or someone. They rightfully want you to do the thing that benefits you, because it looks good on their part. You don't want a son to grow up like Oli. There are 161 references in the Talmud to Jesus Christ. Most of them are statements like, don't let your son grow up to be like that Nazarene. Can you understand that to be part of the kingdom of God, you're part of a different race that doesn't have anything to do with what the world about you is? It's staggering. The promise of God is that if you seek that kingdom, that every needful thing will be made unto you. Everything in the world says, if you do this, then that will happen. If you put this effort here, then you'll get this. And yet that's the greatest enemy of grace in the mystery of God there is. It made perfect sense to Sherry to say, I am concerned that my children will be infected with a germ. Everybody in the world would agree that she was right. Except it did violence to the kingdom of God. Everybody in the universe would be correct. We would say you were correct in your thinking if you only had $30 or $40. You had to worry about living on that basis. But to be concerned about that in the kingdom of God is scandalous. Everyone in the universe would think it's right for you to be concerned about your career path, to be concerned about your retirement program, to be concerned about your investments, to be concerned about how you're going to live tomorrow. And the kingdom of God said, that's blasphemy. So the real question is, which kingdom do you want to live in? That's why it's only, you know, that's, can you hear me? It's only the maimed and the poor and the naked and the hurting and the weak that enter into the kingdom of God. It's none of the acting, none of the things that you do that cause you to be able to exist in society that allows you to enter into the kingdom of God. It's only the place where you become naked, weak, homeless. I said in the speech up in Philadelphia that I'm president of a group of homeless failures and other off-scouring of society, and I'm including myself. There is nothing about our life, there is nothing about our existence, except peace, that has any attraction to anyone in the universe. It was said of Christ in Isaiah, he shall grow up before him. It says, who has believed our report, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of dry ground. He has no form nor comeliness. And when men look upon him, there's no beauty that they should desire him. We sing in the Psalms that we just sung, the Hallel, where the culmination of the mystery of God was when the ugly stone was placed as the cornerstone of Jerusalem. Each one of you has standards of behavior that you think is civilized. Each one of you have standards of behavior that you believe other people that are around you should conform to. You've grown up, you've learned these standards of behavior, and then you got religious and you got more standards of behavior. I can't meet any of your standards. I can't meet my standards. It's only those who've seen that they cannot meet the standards that are put on them by life itself who are worthy to enter into the kingdom of God. It's only the maimed, the weak, the homeless, the crippled, whether it's emotional or physical. It's only those that have lost, the disappointed, the heartache. That's the only ones that are counted worthy to enter into the kingdom. When God looks at life and he sees mountains of gold and mountains of silver and diamonds galore, and he sees talented people and people with intelligence and good looks and beauty, he doesn't see any of that. He looks and he sees the hurting, the suffering, the confused, and he calls those his peculiar treasure. We come to this incredible conclusion that for us, truth can only be a sustained consciousness of error. And for us, holiness is only a continual walk of repentance, for we know we can never get anything right. That's who God is calling. He's not calling you if you think you've got some aspect of life down. You can get it right. He's only calling us who know with everything in us that we are the losers of the world. We are the failures. He's not interested in teaching you how, now that you fail, now to get successful and how to get it right so you can go back to the world. He's never doing that. He's causing you to be able to see the value of weakness, the glory of tribulation, the majesty of suffering, the blessedness of confusion, the hope in being cast down. Can you hear me a little bit? You know, I know well enough to know that the reason that she didn't even strike out in her own mind, but what had happened was because she was afraid. But what our mind does is it translates, and it takes positions when we are afraid or weak, and it runs through our mind and it comes out as something else. God wants us to stay in that position of weakness, never taking a stand about anything. That's the glory. That's the blessedness. And the mystery transpires. And the mystery that happens is, in our weakness, in our confusion, in our hurt, in our heartache, when it's shared, then God uses that as the knitting needle to knit us together in love, so that no force in the universe can ever tear us apart. So that you will know with everything in you that just as Jesus Christ said, I will never leave you nor forsake you, neither will the body. So the first thing to hear in the mystery of godliness is that we're a different people. We're a new thing. We're a new race. It doesn't have anything to do with what we have learned. We come face to face with this incredible conclusion that everything we've learned, everything we have been taught was right, everything we think we know is wrong. For Samuel, we're not going to go there, but I want to talk about it. King Saul lost his... lost his throne because when he was told to attack the Midianites, he was told to destroy every man, woman, child, every sheep, every oxen, everything in that camp. But he listened to the people, and the people wanted to save the good stuff so that they could make it an offering unto God. And God said, because you have done this, you have lost your kingdom. Because you have retained that which you thought was good, you have lost the mystery. Can you understand what Christ was talking about? If your right hand offends thee, I'm sure he's talking about many more things, but one thing he was talking about is if your right hand is your strength, if it's what you're good at, that cannot be sanctified. It must die. I don't know if many of you know this, but when I'd been heavily involved in politics, and I was a reasonably good politician, so I became a Christian, and then I believed the people around me, and for a brief moment in time, I was going to be a politician for Jesus, and there was a group that was planning on running me for a major office, because now I was acceptable unto them, because I had adopted their religious overlay. Before I hadn't. And then I was delivered from it, fortunately. The worst thing that could have happened to me in a spiritual walk is to have tried to save some part of me that I thought was good. The only thing that ever gets Harry into trouble are the things that he thinks he was good at in the world. We are a different people. We're a new race. We're a race which in which we glory in tribulation. We get by giving. We lose. We win by losing. We live by dying. It has nothing to do with the world that you know. None of the value systems of the world that you've been brought up in can be brought into the kingdom. You must present your body a living sacrifice. You know what a sacrifice? Sacrifice means to die. This is critical. If the right hand offend thee, cut it off. The characteristics of the brethren is that we are individually maimed. You know, I've said this for years. Thank God if you're ugly. It reduces the possibilities. Thank God if you're poor. It reduces the options. Can you see we don't have anything to do with this world around us? We are in the world, but not of it. We are in the world only for one reason, for antagonism.
You're reading all the stuff on the men's movement, which is just so bad. But the whole thesis is we got to save society. We've got to retrain men. Stop the moral decline, you know, and battle Hollywood. It's like
all the way in trouble.
Yes. Trying to fix something that's not fixable.
It's never been fixed.
I mean, not in the last 10 years of Hollywood, you know, it's like, we're inundated with this stuff.
Another one. Another interesting thing in the Beatitudes, it says, you know, in the Sermon on the Mount, if the Sermon on the Mount were lived in society, it would destroy society. The Sermon on the Mount is the constitution for this new kingdom. It has nothing to do with this world. I just the idea, can you imagine? Any man come to me and hate not his mother, well, you could just stop right there. And father, and sister, and brother, and wife, and children, yea, in his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And he who doth not forsake all that he hath cannot be my disciple. God doesn't need converts. If you don't want to do this, hit the road. But if you can say, Father, I am willing, but I need your help, then come on. We all need his help. Can you hear me? But if you ever in my presence try to use your wife or your children for a justification, then you might as well just, you know, give your soul to God because your ass is mine. Oh, you don't understand, Ollie, because you've never had any children. You had more children than you can dream of. If you try to raise a Harry, all the airy guys.
Nurse Harry, real tough.
I know, and my nipple is really starting to hurt. Matthew 5:25 says, agree with thine adversary quickly while you are in the way. With him, lest at any time the adversary deliver thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, and the officer, and thou be cast into prison. What does it mean to agree with your adversary quickly? You understand this isn't talking about the world. God didn't give a holy hoot about the world. All of the Beatitudes and all of the Sermon on the Mount are the constitution for the body of Christ. You think I'm going to go agree with Tilton, that friggin' idiot? But I'm going to agree here quickly with you. Why? Because the natural man will always insist on his rights. The spiritual man never will. So there's no situation that you can be involved in which if you give up your right to yourself that you will win or be concerned with winning. Doesn't matter if you're defrauded, who cares? You insist on your rights about something? The moment you insist on your rights, you're telling God you want justice. And I know every one of you well enough to know that you do not want justice. Ed, you want justice?
Do you have another option?
Mercy. But if you have mercy, then you can't have your rights. Can't have the right to yourself.
I give up. I thought about a long time.
You got something you want to contend with me?
I'm agreeing with you.
You want to take Dwight's place and contend with me?
No. Well, I can keep those boxing gloves.
You understand that Jesus Christ, Paul, Peter, James, John, never once proclaimed a cause. They only proclaimed a person.
Proclaimed what? I'm sorry.
They never proclaimed a cause. It was the most unjust society that has ever lived, existed. And yet, he did not once nor did any of the disciples proclaim a cause. They only proclaimed a person. If I am involved with a cause, then I can have a creed. But if I'm involved with a person, I can only be a slave. Don't you understand how many of you want a cause? You want consistent creeds? There's nothing consistent about the mystery of God to the world.
You give me the slightest little toehold, like a cause, and with that I can build a space for myself with rights in it. Because what I'll do is I'll just say, that's coming against the cause, and I can get myself behind that and turn it to myself.
That's why God must always show the inconsistencies. Always. So that only the new creation is revealed to you.
Like belong to a club or something. Where they have a code.
Bylaws.
You have to live and act by all of that stuff.
And that's a perfect picture of religion.
It's a club.
It's a club. And that's what
it's not a game, it's a club.
Get jackets that say Jesus up there.
Sure they're all. I mean, that's what screws up marriages.
Power team.
Sort of start saying, hey, here are the rules.
That's why we burn the vows and the rules in the Yom Kippur. Psalm 37 says, commit thy way unto the Lord. How do you do that? I want to commit my way unto a rule. I'd be a kind and benevolent king.
I can live with rules.
I like that laugh.
Yeah, she's jealous, that's why.
Yeah,
you to the left, you to the right, you to my quarters.
You to my quarters?
You to the right, you to the left, you to my quarters.
You to my quarters.
Don't calculate without God. Don't calculate with evil in view. Don't calculate with a rainy day in view. Well, I'm just considering all the possibilities. No, you're not. You're living in unbelief. Present your body as a living sacrifice, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Renewal of your mind is a long, slow process. You've got billions and billions and billions of neurons, nerve paths, that have defined how you respond to stimuli. And God says all of them are wrong because all of them calculate without Him. If thy right hand offend thee, cut it off and cast it from thee. If the right eye offend thee, you know what offend there means? An occasion or a trap for self-realization. Can you see that our walk must be a continual one of emptying ourselves? And in that emptying, we make room for the Holy Spirit. But if we once take a stand, if we once justify ourselves, then we fill the temple with the God of this world. I think that makes sense. Everybody understand perfectly?
Talking earlier, you said that you knew my reaction was out of fear. I remembered you that, yeah, I know, without a shadow, that I am fear-based. I was thinking, you know, I really want to be Christ-based in anything. Well, you know, I was thinking, okay, I'm going to replace the fear with Christ, but there is no replacement. There's, you know, the only way to get there is
confession.
Is repentance of death. And there's, it's not like I'm going to take this place and put something there. You know, I'm not going to take something out and put something back in. It's a matter of death or it's fear. I mean, I'm not going to make it better.
Yeah, you can't do the Holy Spirit's job.
It's like you can really see what the resurrection means. Because, I mean, I'm dead and he's resurrected. It's like, I saw that last night before I was going to sleep. You know, a whole new side of what the resurrection is.
It's instant. It's always there. It's always instant. It's really important that we understand that we are strangers in a strange land, and that we don't adopt the ways of the world or the ways of the system. They're meaningless. The value systems are meaningless. We present ourselves as a living sacrifice, which is our reasonable service. Amen.